didn't even get mic'd up. Now can you hear me?
Okay.
Matthew chapter 1, you have your Bible there. Been thinking about what to preach these days and been asking the Lord to give me direction. And we've been in Psalm 103, and I was prepared to bring a message out of Psalm 103, but the Lord just said, you know, it's Christmas time. And I want you to talk about some life lessons around Christmas. I think we all could use some life lessons. Everybody needs life lessons. You say, I'm good, preacher. Well, now you need some life lessons. We all do. The Bible has a lot of life lessons for us to learn. One of the reasons that God left us here is to tell others. I believe that's the primary reason that God left us here. But now there's another reason. It's not just about spreading. It's about sanctifying. God wants us to spread the good news. But he also is sanctifying us, right? He's conforming us unto the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so that is another purpose, I think a chief purpose, that God has left us here on the earth after he saves us. And so I believe as we look at the Christmas story, as we begin here in chapter 1, we can learn some things about, well, about what life is to be and how God intends it to be for us. And so I want to just begin and give you some backdrop. We'll spend some time in verses 18 through 25 over the next couple of weeks, right on into our Wednesday Christmas night candlelight service. And I trust you'll invite someone to come and be with you. It's a beautiful time. It's not just beautiful in the time that, as far as it's presented, but just to be in God's house with God's people at Christmas is a wonderful experience. And I trust that you will invite someone to come with you that Wednesday night for our Christmas candlelight service. Well, the book of Matthew. Brother Moore touched on it Wednesday night. I had a great meeting. I got some help. How many of you got some help? Raise your hand. I tell you, I got some help from the meeting. And Brother Moore is a great preacher. He's God's man, and I'm thankful for him. But I got to tell you, I got a little nervous Wednesday night when he was preaching out of Matthew. I said, uh-oh, he's headed in my territory. God, keep him out of my territory. but God knows how to do that. It's not my territory. It's just I'm not going to tell you anything you probably don't already know today. I want to put you in remembrance of some things. So I want you to listen. If you got your hearing aids turned up real loud, and are you focused? Because if you're not careful, you'll read through this and you'll miss some things. I have. And I'll do it again. And sometimes it's not that I miss some things. It's just that God says, you know, he's not ready for this right now. I'm going to wait until he's ready to receive this. And maybe this morning, you're at that place. God sent you here because he knew this is the place where you are. He placed on my heart what to preach. And he has you here because he knows you're ready to receive some of the truth that I'm going to give as a life lesson on how we're to conduct ourselves as Christians and what happens when we become a Christian. What is Christmas? Well, I want to start out by saying, I'm going to start in verse 18, but I'm going to jump back to verse number 1 here in just a moment. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. In other words, throw out everything you've ever heard about it. This is the way it really happened. Right here. That's what that means. It was on this wise. It happened this way. So take everything less than this and everything in addition to this and discard it. It's just not so. This is the way it happened, the way God said it happened. Now, as we go back, we have to understand Matthew is writing. Now, he's the human author. And the Spirit of God is speaking through him what he wants us to hear. And Matthew is writing to a predominantly Jewish audience, okay? And I think it's really sad that one of the things that Matthew records is toward the end of Jesus' life when he's getting ready to be crucified. He says, behold your king. Remember what their response was? We have no king but Caesar. How beggarly. How disappointing that mankind could get to that place. Think about that just for a moment. This is not my message, but as I was studying about this, it just came to my mind. How disappointing. I sure would hate to get to that place in my life. Behold your king, the Son of God, Jesus himself. I have no king but Trump. What a disappointment. I have no king but Biden. What a disappointment. I have no king but the government. What a disappointment. That's it? That sums up your life, your existence, your homage, your adoration? God, help me. And so I think that tells us a little bit about the state of the world in the days of Jesus. Matthew begins this New Testament of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus had come. He had lived. He had died. He was buried. He rose again from the grave, and he has ascended into heaven. And now Matthew begins to pick up his pen as the Spirit of God dictates to him to write to a predominantly Jewish crowd. You have to understand some things about what's happening here. Notice the way he began. The book of generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, I'm not going to spend much time on this, but I do want to point out some things here that I find very, very, very interesting. All of God's Word is interesting. See, you have to know what Matthew was working with here. The Jewish Bible doesn't end like our Bible. The Jewish Bible doesn't end with the book of Malachi. Now, I'm not going to turn there, even though it would be just a couple of pages, to go back to Malachi chapter 4, but Malachi ends with a curse. You can read it. It's a curse. And they didn't want to end their testament with a curse. The Jewish Bible ends with the Chronicles because they were big on genealogies. They were big on descendancy. They were big on family and calling and position and who they were as a people. That's why Matthew immediately arrested their attention by saying the book of the generation of. Well, you've got a Jewish mind right there. We're interested in that. We're a people of chronicles. We're a people of lineage. We're a people of descendancy. And we want to know our lineage. As a matter of fact, we've been wondering, what about this lineage of David? Where is our king? Where is that now? And how is that faring? So you have to understand a little bit about what the Spirit of God is using Matthew to do to arrest their attention. In most settings, when you began to write a book, you would never start like this. The first 17 verses, and he begat, and he begat, and he begat. Listen, if you don't get a reader's attention, if you don't reach out and grab their attention immediately, you've lost them. They're not going to read the rest. The Spirit of God knows this better than anyone. But he also knew the first intended readers of this letter. And so he begins with the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. And immediately the Jewish mind is saying, oh, wait a minute now. Maybe I overlooked something about this Jesus. And then he says this, look at it. The son of David, that speaks of his royalty, the royal line. Now you've really got their attention. Amen? And then watch what he said. The son of Abraham, that speaks of his racial line. The Jew, the chosen people. So you're speaking of the chosen people. You're speaking of the chosen people's chosen king, right? I mean, this is the man. And so they're all in now. You couldn't start. For the Jewish reader, you couldn't start a book off any better than this. Amen. You just couldn't do it. Can I tell you, the Spirit of God always knows what to do. Amen? Amen. And I pray that if I don't learn anything else, if I'm not careful now, I'll read through this and kind of just glance over it and gaze through it and not really take it. But when I read through this, when I really read through this, there is a wealth of information in Matthew 1, 1 through 17. I mean a wealth of information. Let me give you just a little bit. I hope it'll whet your appetite before I get to the main crux of my message this morning. I want you to notice where it says the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. 12 times, 13, if you count the one I'm going to mention, prior to this, this phrase or something similar to it is used, and it usually goes, the generations of so-and-so, now these are the generations of Noah. Now these are the generations, but there's only one other time in all the Bible, and there's a purpose for it. It just goes to show the Bible is always right. The Bible is always accurate. Amen. The Bible is God's book and not man's. God used man to give us this book, and I'm grateful that God used man, but I'm grateful this is God's book. And so there's only one other time in all the Bible that this form of the generation is used. And I'm going to ask you to turn there. Because what God is introducing to us is federalism or the federal headship. And so here's what he says. Go back, hold your place here, go back to Genesis chapter 5. In Genesis chapter 5, the world is getting started. God is creating. He creates man, and he puts man in the garden, and he puts man to sleep, and he takes his rib, and he makes a woman. Thank God for all of that. Amen. Amen. That's right. Boy, don't you know, when Adam got up from that nap, he thought, wow, lots taken place since I've been asleep. Amen. When he saw Eve, he said, whoa. Yeah, that's where the whoa in woman comes from. Whoa. Another man. No, she's a woman. Listen, there's nothing. I'm being appropriate here. Don't you think that Adam wasn't excited when God gave him a helpmeet? Amen. Men, be excited about your helpmeet. Amen. I'm excited about mine. I hope you're excited about being married and the bonds of matrimony and all that God has done for you. You go back to Genesis chapter 5. Look at verse number 1. This is the book of the generation of Adam. Isn't that something? This is the only other time that phrase is used. Now, why does God use it these two times? Because we're talking about the federal headship. See, God deals in headship, brethren. It's important to understand this. And he said, Adam is the head of the human race. And he said, if you were born, you were born in the book of Adam. The book. Notice what it says. Didn't say now these are the generations. You could turn over to chapter, and I don't know if I want to get into all this, but if you look over in chapter 6 sometime, don't turn there, but it talks about these are the generations. It doesn't say this is the book of the generation of Noah. It says these are the generations, not the book. And it says that every other time. But here, it says this is the book. God said, I'm writing a book. I'm keeping a book on the human race. And when you are born, you are born into Adam's book. Now, that's the good news. The bad news is, it's not a good book. Because it is a ruined race. I want you to write that in your mind. To be born into Adam's race is a ruined race. The race is ruined. Sin has ruined the race. Please understand that. Sin is what taints us. It twists us. It perverts us. And without Christ, it will dominate us. It will have dominion over us. Amen. And even with Christ, we struggle and we wrestle with sin. But thank God one day we will be free from the very presence of sin. I'm free from the penalty because the blood of Jesus. Amen. But I'm not free from the presence until God takes me out of this old sin-cursed world. But thank God because of Christmas, because God sent his Son into this world, and because his Son bled and died on Calvary, brethren, was buried and rose again. Hallelujah. We can be set free from the penalty of sin. One day he's going to come and remove us from the very presence of sin. While we're living, he sets us free from the power of sin. Sin hath no more dominion over me. You say you don't sin anymore? I sin all I want to. I didn't get many amens out of that. See, I want to put the the blame where it belongs. I don't sin because of you. Amen. Well, he provoked me. Well, have more restraint. I sin all I want to, and you sin all you want to. Better get off of that. It's getting quiet. This is the book of the generation of Adam. This is the book. Now you go over to chapter number one of Matthew, and we're going to settle in here. And I'm trying to get off these first few chapters because there's some truth I want to bring to you in 18 through 25. But we'll just get into a little of it this morning. I'm going to lay a foundation for you. I'm going to talk to you about some Christmas lessons. This is the book of Jesus Christ. Now, you want to get out of Adam's book and get into this book. You listening? You don't want to stay in Adam's book. Now, you're in that. You get born into Adam's book. But you get born again into this book.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You get born into a ruined race. But you get born again into a redeemed race.
Amen.
You want to get out of that race. You want to get out of that book and get into this book.
Amen.
Thank God for the day I got out of that book and got in this book.
Amen.
Because in Adam all die. But in Christ all shall be made alive. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I hope you understand that's what Christmas is about. And that is why Matthew started this book this way. Because he wanted them to know, listen, I want to talk to you, Matthew was saying, about the grace of God. You say, grace of God? Is that even mentioned? Oh, over and over, you just got to look for it. When you begin to read down through here, and I'm not going to do it, you will see kings and commoners. You will see scribes and carpenters. You will see up and inners and down and outers. You will see prestige and you will see poverty. What you will see in this descendancy, in this genealogy, you will see nothing short of the amazing, marvelous grace of God.
Amen.
How God moved into the lives of these individuals. There are those with stained character. Look, if you would, in verse number 3, Tamar is mentioned. Look at verse number 5, Rahab the harlot is mentioned. Look at the latter part of verse number 6, her that had been the wife of Urias. That's Bathsheba. There are those with stained character. And yes, they did need, and yes, they did experience the grace of God. But there are also those of sterling character. Look, if you would, in verse number 5. Ruth is mentioned. What's sterling character? And then if you look down at verse number 16, Mary is mentioned. And we could go through and point out those of stained character and those of sterling character. We could go through and count the peasants from the prestige and the potentates. But I want to tell you something. What is being taught here is that God's grace reaches all four corners of the earth. Amen? God's grace will reach up and God's grace will reach down. If you think you're up here and you don't need it, that just shows how much you do need it. I'm glad God's grace reaches all the race. Aren't you? Amen. And so that's what this is about. And then he says, now I want to focus on what God's grace is really all about. And he gets into the verse number 18, he says, now. Now let me tell you how this grace can be extended to you. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. This is the way it happened, he said. Not the way history reports it. Amen. That's right. Not secular history. Not the way the news media reports it. Not the way the liberal churches tell it to you. This is the way it happened right here. Amen. And so if what you have heard about Christmas is anything short of what I'm going to begin to tell you over the next couple of weeks, then you need to really listen carefully. And I like the way he starts it. And so I want us to kind of hone in and get a few life lessons in the time that we have. Look, if you would. He said, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, there's just something there, and he comes back to this in a moment, and I can't pass that up without showing you what I'm talking about in verse number 22. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, which is Isaiah. You see that? Now, what he's saying here is he's awakening their conscientiousness. He's awakening them up to some scriptural truth that these Jewish people have heard most, if not all, of their lives. But now they heard it in a time where they had been 400 silent years, so their antennas wasn't up as sharp as they once were. They were kind of dull of hearing. You following me? There was no prophet in those days. 400 silent years. And they had grown calloused and cold and indifferent to things of God and spiritual things. And so Matthew starts out and he says, hey, let me give you this genealogy of this one who was the son of David. You know that one that was the chosen king, the beloved David. And that man Abraham that was the father of your race. And boy, they're listening now. They're all ears. And then he said, let me tell you about the birth of one that is attached to that. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ that is attached to David, that is attached to Abraham, because he's in line to take the kingship of David. And he is born in the flesh of the seed of Abraham. You follow me so far? He has their attention. And he said, I want to give you some things that will change your life as a Jew, but it doesn't end there. I want to give you some things that will change your life as a Gentile. I just want to give you some life lessons about Christmas. And he said, the first thing you need to know is the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. He said, I want to verify that what you've heard in those 400 silent years may or may not be so. You following me? I want to verify what happened under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit so you can know this is it right here. Brethren, I want to say this morning that I believe this book is it. I do. You say, you believe everything you hear? Nope. You believe everything you watch? Nope. You believe everything you see? Nope. Do you believe everything in that book? Yes. I believe everything in this book. Do you understand everything in the book? Nope. But I believe it. Where's the lesson? Here's a good lesson. Fact check from the Bible. If it lines up with this, you're good. If it doesn't, can't promise you. Just being straight with you. How should we live our lives? Line it up with this book right here. Preacher, in a day with AI, in a day when there's so much, I mean everywhere, there's voices calling from every direction. There's voices saying, listen to me, believe this, what about this, do this, where should I stop, what should I listen to? What saith the Scripture? Amen. Amen. Oh, I hope you get this morning. You say, well, preacher, we're in a Bible-believing church. We believe the Bible. Well, it's easier to say than it is to practice. It's easy to say I believe the Bible, but let me be around you for about a day, and I can tell you if you really believe it. Let you be around me about a day, and you can tell if I really believe it. And so he said, first of all, verifying facts. I want to awaken you to the facts. And he said, the facts are, if you look down in verse number 22, all this was done that it might be fulfilled. That's the facts. What God says is going to come to pass. That's the facts. Amen. The facts are what God says, man cannot change. Amen. Amen. And so we need to verify some things in our soul, in our hearts, in our homes, in our lives. Verify what the Scripture says. Verify it from Scripture. Number two, he goes straight into that to what I think is one of the most, if not the most important part about Christmas. You ready? It's a great life lesson. It really is. Now, some people say, well, you know, it's optional. Not at all. It's not optional at all. It is absolutely necessary. Notice what he said. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ, the birth. How did that happen, preacher? Well, there would be those tell you, well, there was this young woman. She was a good girl. And she had a baby, and they named him Jesus. And he was a good man, and he talked good, and He done a lot of good deeds, and he went about doing good, and he left us a life example to follow. Well, you be careful about that deception. There's a lot of holes in that. Amen? What wise is it really on Matthew? Watch it now. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, you ready? Before they came together. What happened before they came together? She was found with child. But it wasn't from another man. The scripture says, of the Holy Ghost. You ready to fact check that from the scripture? Now all this was done in verse number 22, that it might be fulfilled which the prophet, the Lord of the Lord, spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin. The virgin birth of Jesus is an absolute necessity to biblically and properly celebrate this occasion. Amen. 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 Everybody in here will say amen. And if you can't, I'm going to ask you to do it on credit. I get weary of people that just throw stuff out there with absolutely no substance, no proof, just a feeling or a hunch or a thought. Well, the Bible says the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. This is the way it happened. The virgin birth. Amen. You say, now, preacher, we're a Bible believing church, and we believe in the virgin birth. Listen to what the scripture says now. She was found. There's some great truth in here. We're gonna scratch the surface a little bit this morning. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you, I never gave that any thought until the night I got saved. I'm just sure I heard it. I'm just sure. I had a grandma who, you had someone in your life that just tell you, you know, about the Bible. And I mean, she didn't just tell me about the virgin birth. She told me some other things too, like, you're going to go to hell, boy. I'm serious. She told me, you ought not tell a child that. It worked on me. I mean, how'd it work on you, preacher? A lot of ways, but one way, I had some terrible dreams. And I don't think it's what I ate either. I think it's what grandma gave me. That's right. I'm not saying be reckless, and I'm not saying be irresponsible, but there's nothing wrong with telling your children that the penalty of sin is death. And except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Say amen with me. Now, you follow the Lord's leading now, but you be careful about withholding Bible truth from your children. The scripture says that she was found a child of the Holy Ghost. Let's go back in the few moments that we have together here before we close this morning's service, and let's look at some things here. What's going on here? What's going on? I mean, here's a man and a woman. When you read this, here's a man. And if you'll notice, the scripture says in verse number 18 that Mary was espoused. Now, in this custom, in this culture, there was an engagement, there was a betrothal, there was a marriage. It was steps and phases. And they were in the espousal. They were in the engagement phase. That's where you actually, when you read back in the book of Deuteronomy, when you were in this phase of your relationship, most of these marriages, now please listen to me, don't turn me off. These are things we need to understand. Most of these were arranged marriages. They were set up. I'm not going to do that. Their divorce rate was less than about 3-5% is what I read. So before you get too critical about the way people are doing things, you might ought to find out what works and what doesn't.
Right.
Now, I'm not suggesting that you arrange your marriage with your children, but I am suggesting you get involved in it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Some of us have been taking counsel from the world. Listen, I've been thinking about what Brother Moore preached. I hadn't forgot about that. We've been taking counsel from the world. We think we're supposed to take our hands off when they turn 18. I've never read that anywhere in the Bible. That might ought to be time you get your hands on a little stronger. I'm trying to help somebody this morning. I'm not saying that, listen, they've got to learn to make good decisions yourself. Teach them to make good decisions. Amen?
Sure.
Teach them to make good decisions.
Amen.
But don't think because somebody's 18 or 16 has a driver's license, they know how to make good decisions. Okay. I had one pull over in front of me just yesterday. Just carrying on to see if you were listening. And for some of you 16, 17-year-olds that are driving, you can drive some better than some of the 60 and 70-year-olds. What's happening here, brethren? God's trying to teach us something. God has a plan, and God's going to execute his plan. And he said, my plan is that I'm going to take this virgin woman, young lady, young maiden, and I'm going to impregnate her by overshadowing her the seed of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Is that what the Bible says?
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. Notice what it said here. She was found with child. Interesting. I'm trying to get into something here, but I'm having a little trouble because I want you to understand this happened.
Amen.
You say, oh, well, we believe it. Oh, I don't want you to just believe it up here. I want it to be down here. There was this young woman and this young man named Joseph, and they were, listen, they were arranged to be married. They were in the espousal state. They had never been intimate. And if you're reading Luke sometime, an angel of the Lord appeared unto Mary, and he told her, you're going to be with child. You are highly favored among women. God has shown you favor, and you're going to be used to bring forth the Christ. And I like what Mary said. She said, be it unto me as thou hast spoken. Amen.
Yeah.
He gave her a little... He gave Mary a little encouragement. You read that sometime in Luke 1. He said, now listen, he said, I know all this, and I'm paraphrasing here. I know all this sounds out there. He said, but I want you to listen to me. I'm talking to you about the real Christmas. There was an angel from heaven came and visited this young woman. And he said, you're going to receive the seed of God, and the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you, and you're going to give birth to the man Christ, the Savior of the world. And no doubt Mary, you know, she said, how can these things be, seeing I don't know a man? And he said, listen, let me give you some encouragement here. You have a cousin, Elizabeth, right? Yeah. He said, well, the same God that woke up her womb in her age that was barren is going to do something in your womb. Amen. Aren't you glad God does? Listen, that's a life lesson. Sometimes when God throws something heavy on you, he'll give you a reference, a checkpoint, and he'll say, hey, I want you to think about this. Don't you think what I'm doing with you is out there? I've already done it. I've already done it. I visited Elizabeth. As a matter of fact, won't you go see her? And after she heard, no doubt she was greatly encouraged, and she said, you mean my cousin Elizabeth is with child? She was dead in her womb, and God has awakened her womb, and now I'm being told that God's going to do this miracle in my life too. What's a life lesson? Listen, it is no secret what God can do.
Amen.
What he's done for others, Elizabeth, he'll do for you, Mary.
Amen.
Amen. What a life lesson. Don't you think God's forgotten you? Don't you think God's forgotten your lot in life? And then the angel, as if that wasn't enough, said, hey, I've got one more word of encouragement to give you. For with God, nothing shall be impossible.
Amen.
Don't you know when Mary jumped up, she said, whoa, let me get on down here and see what's going on with Elizabeth. There's some things going on in my life from heaven, amen.
Amen. Come on, bro. Come on,
she went and seen Elizabeth, stayed there for 3 months. Read it, Luke chapter 1. 3 months. And then she returned home. Now, the Bible says in verse number 19 that Joseph, her husband, being a just man, was not willing to make her a public example, but he was minded to put her away, privately or privily. We'll get to that, but I want you to know, I don't know how Joseph found out. I've been thinking about it, though. Been meditating on it. When did Joseph find out? Before Mary went to see Elizabeth? Did he hear about it when she was there with Elizabeth? When she came back after 3 months, did she try to conceal it because she thought, I just know when I tell Joseph? I don't know. I just know Joseph found out. And the Bible says when he found out, he has some really important decisions to make. Can I tell you, in life, you're going to have some really important decisions to make. Now, I'm going to close with this. Next week, the Lord willing, we're going to come back to here. But I want to give you something. Joseph has some really important decisions. I just can't tell you how God has helped me thinking about Joseph's decision. See, we're on the backside of it. It's easy for us to say what we would do. Joseph loved this girl. It was arranged. The families were invested. They loved one another. They cared about one another. And yet here she is with child of another man, or so it seemed. He's got some hard decisions to make. Even after he finds out, that thing in her, that holy thing, is of the Holy Ghost. He's got some hard decisions.
Amen.
I'll give you one of them. Look, if you would. Look now in verse 25. He made his decision to stay with her because the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. What a great life lesson. Pastor David's been preaching it. Be swift to hear. Slow to speak and slow to anger. Joseph was, because he was, in verse number 20, while he thought on these things. Sound like he was slow to speak, but swift to hear, because while he thought on them, in verse number 20, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. What's that next word? Saying he was listening. He was swift to hear. And he got some instruction from the Lord. Can I tell you, if we'll let God, he'll navigate us through the difficulties of life. What a great life lesson here.
Amen.
I can't tell you the times I have gotten myself in all kinds of trouble, brother, because I went ahead of God. I thought I knew better, and I knew this is a no-brainer. She stepped out on me. It is evident. Notice the wording here, if you would, in verse number 18, she was found with child. She was found with child. Can't hide it. It's so.
Amen.
And I have every right to do what I'm going to do. No brainer. But he didn't act right away. The scripture says in verse number 20, while he thought on these things. Praise God, what a great lesson.
Amen.
If you don't get another lesson out of this whole section that we're going to walk through over the next couple of weeks, I pray you'd get that one. Wait on God. Be strong and of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. God will direct you. He'll navigate you. Don't take matters into your own hands. I've done it. I've done it, brother. Listen, and I'm not saying because I've done it, it's any different. It's just I'm speaking to you not only from Scripture but from experience, but I'm going to take this over experience every time. This is always right. I'm not.
Amen. Amen.
As we close, I want you to think about being saved. There's great life lessons here, but I want to give you some things here that just stand out to me. Notice what happened with Mary. It's amazing to me when God put his seed in Mary, some things happen. Notice, and I'm just going to give them to you. Number one, notice if you would in verse number 18, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you, when God comes in you, you're going to be found out. Amen. I don't know if Mary tried to conceal it. I don't know. I don't have any scripture. I don't know if she tried to conceal it. But sooner or later, if you're pregnant, you're going to show. Sooner or later, if you're saved, it's going to show now. You with me? You following me? Listen, if Christ is in you, sooner or later it's going to show. Amen. Somebody shouldn't have to ask you when your stomach's all poked out there, oh, are you pregnant? Be careful, men. Amen. When you're walking around look like you've got a tractor trailer size inner tube around your waist, nobody's going to have to ask you what's going on. Amen. When you're saved, someone shouldn't have to ask you, oh, are you a Christian? Say amen with me, church.
Amen.
The Bible says she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because Christ was in her. Literally. Christ in you? Not the same way, but is he in you? Christ in you what? The hope of glory, brethren. Absolutely. Number two, notice it now. Notice it. Not only will there be a conscientiousness, you will be found. You will be found out. Shouldn't have to be, but you will. It'll show if you're saved. But notice what happened in verse number 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, was not willing to make her a public example, but he was minded to put her away. Can I tell you, there'll be some people put you away when you tell them. When you tell them, I am a Christian. And it may come from some of the most unlikely sources. When you stand up for Jesus, when you make it known who side you're on, there may be some people say, I don't want anything else to do with you. And it may come. Now, I'm just drawing a parallel here. Okay? A parallel. When I got saved, I was shocked at some people who had wanted nothing else to do with me. I was shocked. I thought they'd be the first ones to come. Listen, not everybody's going to get excited when you tell them you got saved. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many? Amen. Raise, don't be ashamed. Listen, when you start telling people you got saved, you get mixed reactions. And some of them get violent. I mean, I've had some people tell me, listen, I done told you, I don't want to hear that. In my own family. Sharon and I would go over and try to witness to them, and my mom just told me, she said, listen, I don't want to hear that stuff. Now, I'm glad my mom got saved before she passed away, but there was people in my family told me, we want nothing to do with this. I had some people I thought were my friends. They wanted nothing else to do with me when I got saved. Can I tell you, not only did Mary evidence the fact that she was bearing Christ, but also she had to deal with a lot of contempt. Can you imagine the talk in the town? We're going to come back to this, but can you imagine the talk? Listen, it's not like it is today where people just kind of, woo, I'm pregnant, not married, celebrate with me. Hit that like button. Give me a big old amen. Not me. I give you no big old amen. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Amen. You say, I don't like that, preacher. Well, it doesn't matter what we like. It matters what God says. Now, I'm not saying that we ostracize people and we talk them down, but listen, stand for righteousness. Abstain until you get married. Amen. Oh, come on. Amen. I'm preaching the Bible. Stay pure if you're unmarried. Stay pure. But you know what? You may stay pure like Mary and still receive contempt because you are pure. And so not only was there a conscientiousness of Mary that she was bearing Christ, but there was a contempt. You see it? I hope that you do. I think there's a message in this first Christmas in dealing with Mary. And then finally, I want you to notice this phrase. And it's a great phrase. It says in verse number 18, and I'm going to close here. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Look at this phrase. When as his mother, Mary. You know, every lady, you can stand up. Every lady in the church house today, and even those watching by live stream, now don't, as you're standing, don't lose me. Don't lose me, because I want to make a point here that I think will be a help to some of you. There's not a mother in the house today that would not say, motherhood changed my life. Forever. Once a mother, always a mother. Amen. It doesn't matter how old those babies get, you're still their mama. Amen, mama?
Amen.
Amen. Boy, don't you know this changed Mary's life? Can I tell you, when you bear Christ, when we bear Christ, it changes your life. forever. Forever. Not just 9 months now. Not just 18 years. My eternity has changed. What a wonderful, wonderful thing it is when Jesus comes into your heart. Amen? I'm going to close there. And I know those were scattered truths, but I think that there's just life lessons in there. And I think there's many more. And I've got some that I want to share with you next week, the Lord willing. Just simple life lessons that we can learn instead of getting caught up in everything around this season. Why don't we just revisit what the birth was? Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. A lot of things changed. A lot of things that were going on in people's personal lives. And God wants to do something in your personal life. And God wants to do something in my personal life. But if I get so busy that I block him out and I don't make room for him to work in my life, well, I'm going to miss some things. And I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. Now, if you bear Christ, if you're saved, the Spirit of God lives in you. And if the Spirit of God lives in you, other people ought to see that. Just like they saw Mary was with Christ. They ought to see you. They ought to see me that way. Amen? Can I ask you a question before we close? Do they see you that way? Do people see you as a bearer of Jesus Christ? Number two, does it bring contempt? Does your profession of Christ, now I'm not saying we ought to go out and intentionally try to make people mad at us, and I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying by the very fact that we are what we are in Christ. Mary, she was what she was. She was with child. She was with Christ. And there was contempt toward her because of that. People didn't want to find out what the rest of the story is. That's another great lesson. Hey, listen, you might think you know the story, but you don't know the whole story. So you may think you know the story. Well, she's with child, and Joseph says it's not his. She's just not a good woman. Well, now, listen, she's pure. You don't always know the whole story. I don't always know the whole story. Be careful. No wonder people are looking over at the windows. When Christ comes in your life, it'll change your life forever. Let's bow our heads together.